judgment and criticism. And it's so heavy and tangible, I can reach out and touch it.
I don't know how you could even say that.
That's just silly, Chris.
I really don't.
That's your mind. You're operating on faith, and you're not... We're about faith, not feelings. You can continue to walk in the vanity of your mind the way the rest of the world does, or you can walk on faith. You can operate on the basis of what your feelings dictate, or you can operate on faith. I mean, it's as simple as that. You know, whether you go or not is immaterial. The fact that you feel rejection is what has to be dealt with. You know, you can operate on this basis of, well, I feel this. Or you can operate on the basis of the eternal fact that we are one body, one spirit, one faith. The reason we're not studying the tabernacle this weekend is because one singular fact. That there's not a body, there are 20 some separate boards that are hanging around trying to be individual boards. Can't happen. If we studied the tabernacle this weekend, it would be as though we were committing spiritual masturbation. We were, each one singular board was trying to build a tabernacle. You can't do it. If we opened the ark at this point, we'd be wiped out. Here we are still 22 people that come here for various reasons, but are really 22 boards trying to build or be their own tree, isolated, separate. Now that, a great deal of that still has to do with groves and grove activities. And the lies of separation that are the groves. A great deal of it has to do with the fact that have become as the Dead Sea. Because there's no outward expression, individually for the most part and corporately for sure. And God is crying to us saying, shall you too be as the waters that fail? There's all kinds of opinions that people have about each other, and they're quietly killing each other. When you sit there in your isolation with 10,000 opinions about everybody in here, and you secretly think, some of you think you're worse, some of you think you're better, so this weekend it's changed. I decided to change it last night. And it's going to be a time in which if you have aught against your brother, you go to him. If you think that someone has aught against you, you go to him. And it's a time in which hopefully there will be a total honesty. No matter how painful that honesty is. And it's a time in which the body comes to a point in which it says, in faith, we are one body, one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And that you stop buying the lie of the individual isolated self outdoing stuff. and that we stop buying the lie of the body being an individual segment, not connected to the whole. This body exists for one singular purpose in terms of its external expression, and that's to give. And what we've been about, we've been delivered the most incredible revelation in the history of the world. All prophets, all scientists, all seers, philosophers are searching for the thing that's given to you freely, nightly. And you've considered it of none effect. You've considered it lightly because you thought your feelings and your status was more important than the revelation. And you've, each of you, been out building your own house and then come here expecting to be stimulated. It's time that you begin to bear his reproach outside the camp. So that that life which is in you can be tested, so that it's, you're not subject to every little whim that comes around. And so you know beyond knowing. You know beyond feeling. And the only way that knowing comes about is by the process. Of being tested, of bearing his reproach outside the camp. You've heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given to me, you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, whereby when you read or hear you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now is revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. Wherefore I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. To the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the singular eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint or quit not. I mean, do you understand that most of you quit half the time, three quarters of the time, 90% of the time? You're carried about with every wind and wave of opinion and doctrine and physical sensory perception and your mental gymnastics, and it takes you away from the rest and the purpose and the singularity of why you're alive. And you become just like every other man. You're carried about by every wind and wave, just like a cork, no anchor. For most of you, your only anchor is fear. It's got another chain on the anchor. It's called guilt. And you reflect that motivation in your response to your brethren. You're afraid to talk about the mystery because you're afraid someone will get mad at you. Oh, my mother won't understand. Oh, I might get fired. Oh, I just don't know it well enough. Oh, I don't know how to say it right. When I started this, I didn't know how to say anything right. I still don't. When I became a believer, I went to 120 different churches, at least. I'd go there and I'd get sick to my stomach. You know why? Because the preacher or the Sunday school would be teaching me how to get something from God. It made me sick. I got physically ill. The reason is because I intuited by revelation that my only purpose from that moment forward was to give. That's your only purpose. And it doesn't matter what condition you're in when the giving takes place. Whether it's in season or out of season. Whether you feel good or feel bad. Whether your mind's playing tricks on you or not playing tricks on you. You think my mind, do you understand my mind plays tricks on me all the time? Half the time I want to leave. And about 2 seconds later I say, no, that's dumb. My only reason for living is to give. To give what? Now we're going to study some parables this weekend about stewardship. And stewardship has nothing to do with money. It has to do with being a steward of the mystery of God which has been revealed unto you. And now what most of you have done is you've digged a hole in the ground and planted that one singular talent. And then you wonder why you're upset. You wonder why you don't feel right. It's because it's not that you are encouraged or expected to do anything, but the effort that you're taking and the effort that you're making not to do something is causing you so much anxiety that you become a ball of, you're a candidate for tarot or the ulcer factory. Why? One reason. It's because you're not giving. It doesn't matter whether you've been here 9 years or 9 days. The mystery isn't dependent on time. If you understand, you know that you have been with Him that is from the foundation of the earth. You were there before the foundation of the earth. You have seen all things, you know all things, you own all things. But you run around in your little timid activities, acting as though you had to earn. So this weekend, no tabernacle. Because if we studied the tabernacle, and if we opened the ark, we'd be wiped out. Isn't self-seeking getting you a little sick? I mean, aren't you starting to get a little sick of self-seeking? In the name of Christ? Oh, come here, I want my ears tickled. I want you to make me feel good. Ezekiel said, God said to Ezekiel, He said, they come to you as one who can play a pleasant instrument. Do you understand how many times today you've denied the power or the efficacy of God? Every time there's a moment of fear, Every time there's a moment of doubt, every time there's a moment of guilt, you've denied the power of God. Even more so, every time you've looked at yourself. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were sometime were afar off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in these ordinances, for to make himself of two one new, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the tabernacle, fitly framed together, groweth unto a holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Can you imagine? Yeah, you can imagine it because it's throughout the scriptures. But do you understand that your response would be absolutely no different than it is if Jesus Christ himself were your teacher? Do you understand that your petty little concerns for life would be exactly the same? You say you want to be a disciple? Then stop believing your minds. Stop believing the lie of separation. Stop believing the lie of abandonment. Stop believing the lie of weakness or lack. This weekend, it's going to be a continuation of Groves, if there's anybody that needs to talk in that dimension. It's going to be a time in which if there's a slightest wall of separation that you perceive between anyone, if you have aught, the slightest aught against anybody in the body, that you leave, because you're not part of the body anyway by the spiritual definition. I mean, you can hang around here the rest of your life, and if you perceive aught against your brother, by definition, you've been excommunicated.
Well, when you say that you leave, do you mean that, I mean, don't you really mean that you try to do away with that aught?
That's right. You go to that person. Go out in that pine forest and roll in the pine needles if necessary. Take 43 whips and beat each other if you're going to make yourself feel better. I don't care how you do it, but do not be satisfied with anything less than perfect fellowship.
You say wimps or whips?
Whips. Wimps, too.
Beat
ourselves with wimps.
43 wimps.
I'd rather do this than study.
I want you to leave tabernacles, to leave ideas of scriptures, to leave me as being a teacher, to leave every idea, to leave doctrine, to leave everything, so that the only thing that is left is love. And in that love, it will spill over and touch and it pour over. It'll come out of you from all orifices.
Sort of like a diarrhea.
Out of the fullness of the heart, the mouth speaks. Now, last night somebody said that what we needed in this body was a spiritual enema. I like to think of it as a spiritual pimple pop.
You would.
Or a spiritual boil lancing.
That's enough.
You carried it.
It's just like cleansing. Leave it.
But you see, can you see from God's standpoint if there's the slightest lack of fellowship between the brethren? That there is no fellowship. I mean, there's no brethren. You've killed them. And it's, I mean, I don't care, I probably will tomorrow or Monday, but I don't care about keeping on time with a three-year cycle. I don't care about the study of the tabernacle. I don't care about stimulating your, whatever it's stimulated by all kinds of spiritual tidbits. I just want you to be real. To never again say to God, why have you made me this? But just to let what's real out. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Therefore, none of us can think of himself more highly than the other, and none of them, this is the biggie, you cannot think of yourself as less than anyone else. Because to every one of us is given the measure, the right measure, that's what that means, the exactly perfect measure. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive. Your captivity is now a lie. If you think you're captive to something, it's a lie because he's led it captive. And gave gifts unto men. Now he that ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fulfill all things. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. But they're not worth a shit. Because they have one job. To perfect. To test. The saints. My only job is to test you. Not to give you a test. But to put you so far in the corner. Every night should be minor prophets. To test you to the point where you're of value. For the perfecting of the saints, so that the saints do the work of the ministry. For the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come in unity. In the singular unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect, fully tested man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Your mind is the snake that's lying in wait for the moment to strike, to deceive. So is everybody else's mind. So are all your contemporaries. So are all your surroundings. They're just lying in wait to strike at the moment of your... What? The moment you step off the mercy seat. Whap! The moment you take yourself seriously. Whap! And how you love to take yourself seriously. Isn't it great fun? Don't you just like to sit and muse over your talents or your lack of talents? Your grandiose ambitions and your plans for tomorrow. Oh, it's going to be such great fun. I'm going to do this. Or don't you love to muse over what you would have done in the situation, how you would have handled yourself if you had the second chance? Some of you, don't you like to muse how you would have liked to cut me to ribbons?
Down on the list, I get too many other people I'd rather cut.
That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. By the sleight of men. You know what sleight of men means?
When somebody cuts you off on the
No, it's slight. It's like sleight of hand. It's like being able to. It's like dealing five cards out of the middle of the deck, and you didn't even. And you thought he was dealing one off the top.
Or six cards.
Or 12.
At least I've seen that.
The sleight of men. And cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love. Can you say to somebody, you really piss me off in love? If you can't, you're not part of the body.
You really piss me off.
Say Jesus.
But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together. What this is, it's the tabernacle building itself. Just like we saw from the Talmud, the tabernacle, they know what to do when they build all those little pieces, they know what to do with it. It came together. Whack! From whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. You know what built the tabernacle in the wilderness? Love. You know what builds this tabernacle? Love. You know what the lie is? Anything less than perfect love. Anything less than perfect fellowship to the most unlovely member of the body, or who you think is. For most of you, that's me. When you can love me, then you've passed the test. That's the role of a preacher. What? Shut up, Pete. Edifying of itself. It means it's building itself. Without knowing. You don't know what the hell's happening. You just like the... You're just like...
A board.
Yeah, you're bored. It's being fitly joined together and compacted. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. Do you have any idea what that means? Can you feel what that means? The vanity of their minds.
It's like taking yourself seriously.
That's right. Having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling spiritually have given themselves over unto lasciviousness to work all uncleanliness with greediness. Now that just means the works of the flesh. That just means operating by sensory perception. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful desires, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man. So it's time to put on the new man. Amen?
Amen?
You understand what you're going to do this weekend?
Yes.
You remember how Agag, you remember what happened to Agag?
I don't remember.
Agag who?
I don't know who Agag is.
First college.
See, the guy lost his thumbs.
Right? Lost everything. So that the old is cut away and the new is revealed. The only thing that requires of you is your honesty.
And a sharp knife.
No, it's not your job to have the knife. That's enough, I quit.
I think I'm about to say something, and I'm saying this because of a lesson that I learned when somebody said something to me one time, and I thought this is one of... Well, it was a girl I worked with. It was when I was being a rabid Christian. And I was a rabid Baptist, yeah. And I was trying to convert all my clients. And my clients were calling up and saying they wanted anybody but that Christian girl to come over. And so one of my coworkers came over to me and said, I want to talk to you and I want to tell you something that you're not going to want to hear. So I want you to prepare your mind to hear it, you know, and know that I'm not making a personal attack on you. And then she just shut up and gave me a few moments to compose my mind for this, you know. So I said, okay, you know, and that lesson of allowing someone a moment to compose their mind to hear something has just been a valuable tool for me. I've said that same thing to a lot of people since then. And so I just wanted to say that, you know, Ole is saying we're going to all go and tell everybody our bitches about everybody else. And I just would like to point out that we also need to open our, you know, compose ourselves to receive that from everybody else, not just what we're going to go dish out, but right. What we're going to be hearing too.
That's good.
Amen.
Because see, I
blessings at Rabbi Rhonda.
It just seems to me that
Rabbi Rhonda.
Three times ago, the Pope.
Let the girl talk.
Quit while you're ahead. No, I'm just kidding.
You did so good. I'm messing up now.
Rabbit
Rhonda, though, that's a good...
Rabbit
Rhonda. No, that's not good. That's not good.
Rabbit. Rapid.
She goes through men like...
Rabbit. Like grease through a boots.
Yeah, it's rapid rolling.
You were saying, before you were so rudely interrupted.
I'm pissed.
Oh.
She's pissed.
Stomp out in a huff.